So when was your last checkup? Oh no, not you. Although that's important too, but when was your last vehicle checkup? When it comes to service, nobody knows your Chevy better than your local Chevy dealer. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com to schedule an appointment today.
That you remember this.
Since my baby left me, well, I found a new place to dwell. Well, it's down at the end of Lone Street, that heartbreak hotel.
10:38, Dean Richards, Sunday morning on WGN. Elvis's first big hit song, 1956, is when this one came out.
Was this before Hound Dog?
This was before Hound Dog. Okay. Heartbreak Hotel was his first hit song. Had relative success following this one. But it is also the name of a new show that's going to be opening here in Chicago that is being called the prequel to the enormously successful Million Dollar Quartet that I don't even know how many years that played here in Chicago. So I do know how many years that was. It was actually 7 years. I'm getting the finger gestures from our next guest. And I don't mean that finger gesture. Completely different one from Floyd Mutrix, who is the writer and director of Heartbreak Hotel. I do know this, Floyd. I may not have remembered the number of years that the Million Dollar Quartet was here in Chicago, and it was here in Chicago, if I'm remembering correctly, before it went to New York. We had every single incarnation of the Million Dollar Quartet in this studio performing for us when they would bring in, when it would be new band or new band members, stop by Dean's show on Sunday morning, and they would set up. This room was just filled with band equipment and keyboards and guitars and singers. And we always had a great time. So we have quite the affection for Million Dollar Quartet. Welcome. Nice to have you here with us.
Hey, thanks for having me.
During the break, Floyd was telling me about his first time here in Chicago, back in the Hyde Park neighborhood.
62.
19. He's still holding up finger gestures. We can talk now. It's okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I had, I said I was a, wannabe beatnik, and I came up here and got a room in Hyde Park with a jazz drummer. And I wandered up to the north side after a couple of weeks. I was entrenched in Hyde Park. I thought it was the greatest thing since
cheese. Yeah. Yeah, it was the offbeat capital of Chicago, for sure.
I've never seen anything like it. It was like, wow.
Those crazy university students there.
Just artists and people on the street and hipsters and hep cats and just whatever.
Yeah.
And but I went up to the north side. Well, not the north side. I went up to Lincoln Park area, and I saw another beatnik that I knew from New York. He ran a place called the Fat Black Pussycat, and I said, "Hey man, what are you doing here?" He said, "I'm working at this club." I said, "Wow, can I audition? Can I get a?" And I did, and I got a job that day. And that club was called Second City.
How about that?
Hey,
how about that? Who is
luck of the?
Who was there back then? Because
the Paul Sand, Barbara Harris, Alan Arkin, Zora Lampert, Joan Rivers, and it was like they kind of adopted me.
They were all kind of beatniks from the University of Chicago,
yeah,
too.
Alan was...
it started off as the Compass Players, if I remember right.
Yeah, they came out of the Compass, which was in Hyde Park.
Yeah.
And it started there, actually. Yeah. Paul Sills started it.
Right.
And he was a waiter there. And then Alan kind of took me under his wing. He was a guitar player. Alan Arkin. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And a lot of people don't know he was a folk singer in a group called the Terriers.
I didn't know that.
And he wrote a song called Daylight Come and I Want to Go Home.
No,
and Harry Belafonte recorded it.
Did not know that Alan Arkin wrote that, co-wrote that song.
He and Eric Weisberg, who also did, they did Deliverance.
Wow.
They were all talented. Paul Sand had been traveling with Marcel Marceau. Barbara Harris was just a knockout.
Yeah.
Zora Lampert was a knockout. Joan Rivers was a comedian. Joan Rivers used to do my homework. I still had some schoolwork left to do. Joan Rivers did my homework and cooked me dinner.
How about that?
On Mondays.
What an environment! What an environment to be in. So, what takes you from that Second City and that comedy creative environment into what you're doing now, into theatrical producing?
Yeah, I will say to you, I want to expand on what you said about that comedy creative environment. I just want to say there was a number of very poignant, short skits that touched your heart and were extremely relative to the culture of that country,
right.
And it was not just blackouts and comedy. It was a show, and the show was a complete package. And I probably learned more about writing from being in that group every night and in New York for a number of years than I ever did at Columbia University.
Mm.
In fact, the first thing I wrote at Columbia, the teacher said, you probably should think about another profession. So, it's like...
Where's that teacher now? There's the big question.
I don't know.
So talk to me about Heartbreak Hotel. We love Million Dollar Quartet here in Chicago.
Okay, well...
It was such a fun show that recalled this one meeting between four of the greats of all time, Carl Perkins, Johnny Cash, Jerry Lee Lewis, and a young man by the name of Elvis. Who am I leaving out? Am I leaving anybody out?
Yeah. I went to Hollywood after New York, and I had a whole career in the movie business for 30 years.
Right.
Untouchables, Up in Smoke, Dick Tracy, blah, blah, blah. There was a point where they were making movies. They wanted to make movies that I didn't know how to write anymore. They were about superheroes, and I stepped back, and Scott Rudin, you know who he is, Book of Mormon, and Mark Platt, who did Wicked, they lived in my neighborhood. One lived in one, and they both said to me, I had done a picture called American Hot Wax. It was about a disc jockey named Alan Freed, who coined the words rock and roll. And they said, why don't you do that as a Broadway show? And I thought about it, and I went home, and I wrote a series of plays about the people that changed the culture of our country. And I called it American Pop Anthology. The first play I wrote was Heartbreak Hotel. Heartbreak Hotel was too long. It was 3 hours. So I cut it in half, and I did the second half first.
Right.
That was Million Dollar Quartet.
That was Million Dollar Quartet. So now this Heartbreak Hotel, we're going to get the first half of,
you're gonna get
of that the whole thing.
Yeah. The MDQ was a story about four guys who came home one last time, realized who they once were and who they'd never be again, and then they rocked the house one last time. That was Million Dollar Quartet. Heartbreak Hotel is the story of an 18-year-old truck driver who had the biggest song of the year, the largest record contract of all time, and was on the most watched TV show in our lives, and could not walk.
Was that the Ed Sullivan show? Yeah. Waste up only.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And could not walk alone in New York City in 18 months without the internet. And he retreated behind the gates of Graceland, where his beloved mother, Gladys, passed. And he never came out again for 10 years. He went to Hollywood, and he never went out on the road again. There was a Jack Benny show 10 years later, where they wanted him to do Santa Claus or some kind of stuff. And he said, I'm not going to do it. He got Scotty and Bill and the original Blue Moon Boys. He sat on a bench, and he sang the songs from his early career.
Mm.
And the newspapers exploded. The King has returned. And that's where we start our show.
Okay.
We started in 67. He steps out and says, but this started a long time ago.
Yeah.
It was July of 54. And Heartbreak Hotel becomes a memory play. He looks back and tells you about that journey.
So we get a little bit of the very early Elvis, which
you get a lot of. Yeah, it's 90% early.
Oh, it's 90%.
90% is those 18 months. Yeah. It's just him looking back.
He's reminiscing, and so musically, you go back to the very beginnings of when this truck driver was.
Yeah, there was a club here.
I would argue that was Elvis's best era, prime era. That anybody you take. Any rock and roll person alive at this moment, doesn't matter their age, they will acknowledge that Elvis was truly the king of rock and roll in that era, before he became this big persona. Yeah.
I always say he took the black man's music and put it on a white station. And I always say that that transition where he reflected on the people that made the music that changed the culture of our country changed the world forever. B.B. King said there was this nasty little lady named Rhythm and Blues, and she met this sexy guy called Rockabilly. They got together and had a baby, and they named that baby Rock and Roll.
That's right. Heartbreak Hotel is going to be at the Broadway Playhouse at Water Tower starting June 30th. It'll run there pretty much all summer through September the 9th. Floyd Mutrix is here with us this morning, the writer and director, and we'll talk with him more when we come back.
Work all night and a drink of rum.
Daylight come and we won't go home.
Stack banana till the morning come.
Daylight come and we won't go home.
So since you brought it up, I had to play a little bit of it here. In tribute to Alan Arkin. I never knew he co-wrote this song. I figured it had to be some Calypso writer or something. Who knew it was a Jewish guy from New York?
No, they were in a group called the Terriers. It was one of the early folk groups. And, you know, they were pretty well known. They were from St. Louis. And then later, I wrote Freebie and the Bean for Alan and Jimmy.
Wow. How about
remember?
That?
Of course. Back before you were born.
What a career. I wish that were the case. But what a career and what varied types of projects that you've been involved in. From the Untouchables to, I remember when you guys were shooting Up in Smoke. It was like one of the...
No one can remember when we were shooting. There was too much smoke in the room.
I think if you were too involved in the process, maybe that were the case. But from a distance, you certainly could. And Mulholland Falls and Hillside Strangler. I mean, just the range and the variety of
The movie
types
I
of
like
projects.
The most is American Hot Wax.
Hmm.
It's the story of a disc jockey named Alan Freed who took the fall for rock and roll.
Right.
And a lot of... You know, every time I meet somebody, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Rod Stewart or whatever, the first thing they say is, "Oh, that's my favorite movie. I still run that." It's probably the reason I started to do this anthology series about rock and roll.
Yeah,
so it's because of that movie.
So we're gonna have Heartbreak Hotel, the prequel to Million Dollar Quartet, at the Broadway Playhouse, June 30th through September 9th. Is there going to be a sequel also coming out, a part three at some point?
There is a sequel. There's a third part of the trilogy called Blue Suede Shoes. It's each of them lined up on a place above heaven and hell. They look back on their lives, and they stand in a line, and they each tell the story. Cash, Presley, they each tell the story of all the girls they loved before and their lives. It's Chorus Line for rock and roll.
Yeah.
And it's called Blue Suede Shoes.
Well, it's kind of generational. You know, really, I was reading an article, I think it was the LA Times, that's where I've been the past couple of days, that talked about, what's being called jukebox musicals. These shows that come along that you take the library of a particular artist and weave it into a storyline. This article that I was reading saying that it was ruining American theater. I think it's what's kept American theater alive.
Yeah.
And if it's done right, I mean, some are better than others. If it's done right, it's bringing people into the theater.
Those are critics that, unfortunately, aren't available for the change of the culture and the coming of our times. When I sat down to do this, I was out in Montana on Montana Street, and I saw Steven Spielberg. Hadn't seen him in a while. I wrote his first movie. We sat and talked. He said, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm doing Heartbreak Hotel." And he said, "Do you think it'll work?" I said, "Well, if you're walking down 45th Street and you've got leisure money and time and you're 50 years old, on one side of the street is King and I, the other is Mamma Mia. Are you going to go revisit somebody else's memories?" And he finished it. "No, you're going to go revisit yours."
Right.
And this is a story and a part of a culture whose time has come. It has nothing to do with jukebox musicals. It's such an aberrated concept. These are stories about the people that made the music, that changed the culture of our country and all of our lives. Why shouldn't that be a story?
Yeah, why should? I mean, it's fine to have, the Dear Evan Hansens of the world and the Hamiltons and serious dramas. There's, turns out there's room for everything out there.
Why shouldn't we do? I mean, I don't want to go see, there's nothing wrong with, Guys and Dolls. In fact, I like Guys and Dolls. But,
Andrew Lloyd Webber. There's room for everything out on the stage. And this music, there is part of Mamma Mia is pure nostalgia, is pure, the fans of 70s pop music. But the vast majority of the part of Mamma Mia is the telling of this story of...
Hey, there's two American art forms, as far as I know, music. One's jazz and the other's rock and roll. And there is much a part of our culture as... rock and roll was actually an AM car radio, was the literature of my youth. How about that?
There you go.
How about that? That's just the truth.
I think I've often said, as a former DJ, that I was proud to participate in the soundtrack of people's youth. The music that I was playing on the radios, they were listening to whatever they were doing and forming memories in their own lives. It was the music that I was playing and other DJs were playing on the radio at the time. Soundtrack of their life.
I'll tell you something that happened in Heartbreak Hotel. We just came from Algonquin, Maine. It's a beautiful little, it's a fabulous place. It's a playhouse there. If you ever get a chance, go there. It's a bucket list place.
Okay.
A little playhouse in the middle of nowhere. It seated 500 people. We ran 5 weeks, 8 shows a week. There were single tickets only. They came from Mars. I mean, the place was
about
packed.
That.
What happened in the theater was, at the end of the show, Elvis is lost in his own desires, and he's singing a song called Dixieland. I wish I was in the land of Dixie. And on the rear screen projections, this is a biography. There were documentary footage. There was cotton fields. There was plantations. There was Rosa Parks. There was, as he was singing, in 1956, the culture changed. He took black music to a white station. Black man became empowered and started to seek their own salvation.
Yeah.
And as he was singing, a woman stood up in the audience and started to applaud. By the end of that song, the entire audience was standing with their hands
up in the air. Yeah.
And our show became Black Lives Matter 1956.
Wow, how about that? That's
and I didn't write it. They told me. The audience told me what the story was about.
That's so interesting. So you get a little taste of what Heartbreak Hotel is going to be about. The prequel to Million Dollar Quartet begins June 30th at the Broadway Playhouse adjacent to Water Tower Place, 175 East Chestnut in Chicago. It'll play there through September the 9th. You can get tickets at BroadwayInChicago.com and all the usual places. What a pleasure to meet you. It's so cool. I really appreciate it.
Me too, brother.
Floyd Mitrick, the writer and director of the show, and we'll be telling you more about that in the days and weeks and months to come.